speaking on this program is Gary Cawley.
Worldliness and immorality, of course, have taken our world by storm, and of course the devil is the one behind all of this. Now, there are some great values to be had if we will take them. We are free moral agents, and we are able to have these blessings in our lives if we so desire them. But we have to follow a standard, and the right standard, of course, is the Word of God. James said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised unto them that love him." Let no man say when he is tempted, "I'm tempted of God," for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed, and then lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. How wonderful to have the standard of God in our hands, the Word of God. And I know Satan wants to invade our lives, and sin and immorality, of course, are not to be had in our lives, because sin and morality are opposites, aren't they? And we are to lay aside the sin in order that we may live the moral life that the Lord would have us to live. Worldliness is immorality, and immorality is the bottom line of what causes us to be lost, isn't it? When we see these things, it causes us great harm and brings to our lives that which we should not do. Immorality may indeed pertain to particular evils of worldly actions in lasciviousness, uncleanliness, and drunkenness, or revelings, which is dancing, Galatians 5:19 and 21. But it may also bring in sins of a religious nature. You know, we can be religious sinners. Idolatry, witchcraft, heresies are all mentioned in Galatians 5:20 and in Matthew 15:9. Jesus said, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching for their doctrines the commandments of men." Paul says that those who practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven, Galatians 5:21. So worldliness may be in our lives because we're just too busy with the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life, and no time to work in the Lord's vineyard. Many people don't know that's worldliness, but it is. And another form of worldliness is materialism, being lovers of money and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. He also points this out in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. So the basis of our difficulties is the heart, isn't it? Jesus said, "For out of the heart cometh forth evil thoughts and murders and adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, railings. These are things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not the man," Matthew 15, verses 19 and 20. Now, some particular immoral sins that we may know about and see. You know, no one can doubt the moral collapse of America, it seems. But these things need to be re-studied and replaced into our lives. These sins not only affect our nation from the White House down to the lowest denizen of the earth, but peace and harmony and purity in the home and the church are also threatened, aren't they? The Lord's church and the Bible must be upheld as spiritual towers of strength for the young and the old. The church is not an entertainment center for the amusement of its members, but it has a mission of preaching to the lost, keeping the saved saved, and doing benevolent work toward those who are in need. We can't depend on the government to legislate morality, nor to seek to save the lost, nor to seek to save, keep the saved saved, or to do benevolent work for us. Some of the evils, of course, that pull down on the strength of the home and the church, even today, are, first of all, the media. You know, while there is nothing wrong within itself in the television or movies, those TV programs and movies being produced today have a direct thrust and expressed intention, that is, of breaking down all morality. Statistics say that the average child will watch 20,000 hours of television by the completion of high school. That adds up to many more hours than they will spend in the study of the Word of God. There will be more in entertainment than in any kind of Bible classes or home Bible study or spiritual growth. Parents, we must be busy. We're in a battle for the mind. But without parents and teachers and preachers and elders and Christians in general that are awake to the needs of our young people, we will lose the battle, won't we? Through the eyes and the ears, the mind is affected for good or for evil. And the influence of Hollywood, as it is called, is working havoc and devastation on those who want to uphold good morality, and every kind of degradation and sin, it seems, are being portrayed as normal and desirable. Are you saying anything about that, parents? Are you saying anything about these illicit things to your children? You know, we must begin to have our senses exercised to discern between good and evil, and then let it be known, or else there will be another generation that is farther from God than this present generation is. You know about pornography. The word pornography is the noun form, which means written or other forms of communication intended to excite lust. Now, the original word suggests writings or depictions of prostitutes. The actual word porn means harlot or prostitute. So these slick productions of our days are not under the counter anymore, are they? But they're out publicly displayed to hook the lustful suckers that may desire to turn from God to that which is unrighteous. It's reported that 18 million of these filth sheets are being read each month. And if anyone wonders why the writers and producers of these shameful books put them into the public hands, the bottom line is M-O-N-E-Y, to the tune of $500 million each year. That's quite a great number of dollars to feed our lust, isn't it? But if and when the public stops buying these devilish tools, they'll stop being printed. A recent report in August 2001 even states that several colleges are now offering classes to its students in pornography. What a shame. Caring individuals and the Lord's church must stand against that which corrupts and destroys and causes this wicked obsession, according to 2 Peter 2:14. Well, what about dancing? Oh, my, here we come to a subject that many people are falling into. This is one of the devil's handiest tools, isn't it? And with it, many have begun their downward road of immorality and ruin through the dance. It's also a work of the flesh. That's what Galatians 5:19 through 21 tells us, and also condemns it. Three words are used in the works of the flesh to describe the modern dance. There is the word uncleanliness, lasciviousness, and revelings. Uncleanliness means lewdness, and certainly the modern dance has all types of lewdness in it. Lasciviousness means indecent bodily movements, and perhaps you've seen some of the movies and some of the TV shows that certainly have these indecent bodily movements in them. Friend, that's lasciviousness. And then revelings, which simply means dancing. You know, some may make the excuse that it is a wonderful form of exercise, or that it is a must for their children to be graceful, as they say. Well, it's still, my friends, a sinful thing in the sight of God. The Bible condemns it, and even the worldly acknowledge that it is wrong, that it is something that will bring you to destruction. And they'll tell you it's not for Christians. So to see the real reason for dancing, and to understand why it is so harmful to our children, perhaps three questions need to be asked. First of all, what's the inducement of the dance? If you will answer that honestly, my friends, there's no doubt you will see what the real thought of it is. What's the effect? Well, you know, the effect is that which brings destruction. And what are the results? Well, the results are that men and women act in an undesirable way, immorally, and therefore against the will of God. You know, all who will answer honestly these questions have to acknowledge that sexual feelings are involved first, foremost, and always. And we must teach our children to flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness and faith and charity and peace with all of them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. Well, my friend, to remove the shame, a ruined reputation, and perhaps even a deadly disease, let us remove dancing from our lives. It is not that which is needful and necessary, and it is certainly something that can condemn our souls as well as the souls of our children. Well, sometimes people say, what must we wear, what must we not wear? And then some say, I don't care what I wear. Well, Christians will care what they wear, and they'll know that they'll lose their good influence by dressing in an immodest manner, won't they? Immodesty in apparel can cause our soul to be lost, because clothing is not only made for our protection, friend, from the elements, but it is commanded in our standard, the Bible, for modesty, 1 Timothy 2:9, 1 Peter 3:1-6, and many other places. But though some may speak of the need of self-expression in their clothing, or fashion in their clothing, too often it is expressing to the world simply this fact: we are open now for a sexual encounter. Look at the mini skirt, the open skirt, the slit skirt, as well as the skin-tight jeans and the see-through clothing. They all fall into this category of immodest apparel, don't they? And whether the immodesty is found in a beauty contest, or everyday attire at a mixed swimming party, or on the football field, it is still sin. Now, the father of the family has a special responsibility. If his wife and daughters don't know the difference, he needs to inform them the way men look upon them. He needs to inform his wife and his daughters of the danger that is here. You know, Matthew 5:28 says, "Whoso looketh upon a woman to lust after her, he hath committed adultery already in his heart." Listen, ladies, ego and vanity in men or in ladies may cause us to lose our souls. Remember, a gracious woman obtaineth honor, says Proverbs 11:16. But then it also says in verse 22, "As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion." Well, we need to see for sure that these are things that will cause us great difficulty and will bring to us a corrupted soul, but not only us, also our children. Let us stand up and be counted. Let us seek out of the Word of God, the will of God, that we may be able to live an upright moral life and have the right standards of life.